their Bibles open before us, could we bow together in prayer just before we turn to the Word and ask the Lord to prepare our hearts for His Word today. Father in heaven, we cast ourselves upon Thee again. Lord, You know the need of every waiting heart. You know, Lord, where there is anxiety. You know where there is disappointment. You know where there is indecision. You know where there is frustration. And Lord, You know where there is zeal. And You know where there is lack of zeal. And Father, we just pray now that as we turn to the Scriptures, that God the Holy Spirit might draw near and use His Word to help us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, and to lead us on with Himself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are very many passages in God's Word that you could turn to this morning with me, and you could take encouragement and assurance from that passage that the man or woman or boy or girl who is truly saved can never totally get away from the Lord. We read great verses that speak of our redemption being sealed and our salvation being sealed, and verses that point to the great security that every Christian has in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to remind yourselves of that and to not slip into that kind of situation where we feel that we're depending on ourselves. We always must be looking to Him. He is the one who saves and He is the one who keeps. But that being the case today, there is no denying that maintaining a spiritual glow for the Lord is hard work as far as we are concerned regarding our part in that. I think that as we look around us in Northern Ireland, it is very evident, I'm speaking here of the Evangelical Church, it is very evident that there has been and continues to be, and I'm not saying this in a critical way because I'm very aware of the verse that says, "Him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall." Brethren, there is a landslide departure from the Lord. There's no other way of putting it. There is a sliding away in heart from the Lord. The activity may still be there. Now, that is a very dangerous thing. If we look there at the message of the Lord and to the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, and there were some of them who were very, very orthodox, and they were very good at fulfilling their duties, but their heart was all wrong, because they had that being among them, that departure from the Lord. And it is right to say today regarding the Church of Christ generally that there is coldness to be found. There is disinterest abounding on almost every hand. There is defeat among Christians that you meet almost every day of the week. And all of this is a possibility for every one of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I say there's been a landslide departure from the Lord, of course we know that not everyone has departed. Just the other night, I was over at the swimming pool with one of the boys swimming, and there's a wee girl carrying in front of me. She was about 15, and she had a text on her t-shirt, and it was the one where the Lord had said, "I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And I was so encouraged by it. I went over and talked to her and I said, "You're not ashamed." She was all bashful and so on because middle-aged man talking to her about this. But she was really encouraged and she thanked me very much for coming over and talking to her. She was out there among everyone and she wasn't ashamed. A lot of other girls with her and some grown-ups as well. And she had the gospel text on her back. Of course, there's a word going on. But I think, brethren, when we think of these things, there's no better person to look at than Peter. I would like Peter to have been my friend. I feel that he would have been a great encouragement to me. And of course, if anybody said anything to me, I feel he could have sorted them out as well in his own way. Because you remember he asked how many times had he to forgive those. He was just ready for going. He was quite a character to be with, but he was a mighty man in many respects. But the possibility of what I've just mentioned to you, of sliding away, is brought forth to us very clearly in the life of God's servant Peter. Everyone here will be familiar with how he was the one who took a sword out and caught the ear of the man who was among those who were arresting the Lord. He was standing his ground. He was making a statement, as it seemed to be anyway, regarding how it was with him. But his drifting from fellowship with Christ is very clear to be seen as you look through the Bible. And it is not only a very solemn thing to read about, it is a very frightening thing to read about. Because here's a man, and he seemed to be in the right place most of the time, physically. He seemed to say the right things. But everything come to a head, as things do. And it turns out that Peter's heart was far from the Lord. My title this morning is, and I trust it's a message for us all, my title is Fear Drifting. Fear Drifting. There's some things I want to draw your attention to regarding Peter here, and I trust that they will help you under this title. The first one is this. Peter had been known as a man who was very zealous for the Lord. Peter had been known as a man who was very zealous for the Lord. You will discover as you read about his life that he was almost always prominent in what the disciples were doing. He was one of those people who always was there. If they were going to organize anything, they could say, well, we know this for sure, that Peter over there, he became to be among us. Do you remember when he was released in Acts chapter 4? The Bible says that they went, Peter was one of them, to their own company. They went straight back to the believers. He seemed to love Christian company. And I just want to say at this point that any time that my fellowship with the Lord and with his people begins to wane, and I mean begins to wane, no point in leaving it for a long time, but when it begins to wane, I need to watch out, because sooner or later there will be a drifting away from the Lord. Do you see what it says there in verse 25 of John chapter 18? It says, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Now, there's nothing wrong, of course, with standing warming yourself at a fire, but there's a message in those words. The message is this, that Peter was there warming his hands at the world's fire. He was now found among a different kind of people. Now, I want to qualify what I'm saying, because I know that you work with a lot of people that are not saved, and I know a lot of people, I'm very fond of some of them, who are not converted. I know people that are not related to me, but they are my friends. And if I needed help in some way, well, they wouldn't be too slow when it comes to helping me. And they're good people. I'm not saying that kind of company, but the thought here is of this, of being out of company with God's people. And out of company with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Peter had previously been so keen on fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes he spoke out of turn, we know that. But overall, you cannot but admire the zeal that he seemed to have. But something you will notice again is this, that he had allowed the distance between him and fellowship with the Lord to become greater and greater. You can read in Matthew's Gospel yourself. In fact, I'll turn to it and read what it says. It's chapter 26. It just says there in verse 58. It says, but Peter followed him afar off under the high priest's palace, and went in and sat down with the servants to see the end. Now Peter, yes, he was following, but he was following afar off. If you look back a few pages there, I think it's at verse 16. Sorry, it's verse 16 in John chapter 18. It says, but Peter stood at the door without, then went out that other disciple. Peter now has become, it seems that he's watching things as one on the periphery. The closeness seems to have gone. And brethren and sisters, all of this, I believe, can be traced to the upper room, to the foot washing there. Just happened to be reading in my own reading today about this. It's a foot washing there. It's in John's Gospel, chapter 13, if you look there, and where the Lord was going to wash the feet of those who were there. The water's in the basin now, in verse 5. It says there in verse 7, Jesus answered and saith unto him, verse 6, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. The word part there meaning fellowship. It's nothing to do with salvation, but fellowship. Verse 9, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. What we see here in Peter is not, I believe, an outstanding enthusiasm. It is not a very clear recognition of his own unworthiness. But what we see here in this passage in John chapter 13 is really the beginning of the drift. It's false humility. That's what it is. When he's saying to the Lord, not just my feet, but every part. He's saying, you know, I need it more than anyone else. And Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. I'm not worthy of this. And I'm so much below you. And you see, what really is happening here, there is a decline. And you will have noticed as you study through the Word of God regarding Peter that there is a lengthening of the distance, as I mentioned here, between Peter and the Lord. You see, I want to mention something just now, and it is this. If you and I begin to drift from the Lord, I said that maintaining the spiritual glow is not easy. It's hard work. Of course, we know the Lord keeps our salvation, but to keep ourselves in the love of God, as the Bible says, to maintain that spiritual glow, it means a very diligent fulfilling of responsibility. And I'm referring here to being one who prays, one who seeks God's word, to listen to it and to read it, and one who seeks to be among God's people as well. Now, as far as Peter was concerned, all of this, which had meant so much to him, had begun to change. And a situation, when you begin to drift, it never stands still, brethren. There's no such thing as drifting just a little bit and being stuck there. And here's a mighty man, the Apostle Peter, and this is what is happening to him. Do you see in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26 and 73, it says, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. You see, yes, where he was from, perhaps his speech sounded different. But at the same time, the message is here. A Christian's speech stands out. You don't have to need me to tell you that. Everywhere you go today, almost there is vulgar language and swearing and taking the Lord's name and using it as a swear word, all of those things and vile language all around us. But even our hatred of that can deteriorate. That may sound like a strange thing to you if you're walking closely with the Lord. But if it happens to be that you've begun to drift, then you know exactly what I'm talking about here. You know exactly what I'm speaking about when I'm talking here about this drifting. Now, we know that Peter's motives were very good in many, many respects in much of his life. But here we have a man who was an outstanding servant of the Lord. One who seemed to be never afraid to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was one who even those around him would have recognized as he's one of them. Because you can always hear him. Whenever there's some kind of a dispute regarding the Lord, Peter's always speaking out for the Lord. He's at the forefront. He risks his life in the garden. He chop off a person's ear. They do a whole lot of things which show him to be one who was very, very zealous for the Lord. And if that is where we are this morning, Christian, then we thank God for that and we trust that that will continue. Because that is what the Lord would have us to be and where he would have us to be. But I want to move on here to the second point, and it is this. We've noted here that Peter was one who is very zealous for the Lord, and there's no denying of that, of course. But secondly, we want to notice that things did come to a head. This is a very startling thought for all of us. We really want to think just where we are with the Lord right now. Because whenever we take a look beyond the church meetings and we look to the rock concerts and we look to the nightclubs, and I used to be very, I had a blinkered view, you could say, of Christianity when I was first saved. I remember being in Belfast one time. A fellow that was there as well, there were several of us, and he said, "See that queue over there for that nightclub?" He said, "You'd be surprised how many young Free Presbyterian Christians are in that queue." I didn't believe him. But then I saw one coming away from the nightclub. And then I believed him. So this is a very real thing that we're talking about, this drifting this morning. And things do come to a head. And you can say here regarding Peter that, well, things climax in his denying of the Lord. Who would ever have thought it? If you had to pick half a dozen men out of the New Testament who would never have denied the Lord, surely Peter would have been one of them. Maybe even he would have been there at the very front of those who stood for the Lord until the very end. And we do see here again that there had been a drifting. These things don't just happen. When it comes out here to everyone that Peter's now denying the Lord, it didn't just happen in an instant. There had been a build-up. There had been a drifting, that thing which we ought to really fear, because whenever the foot washing of the Lord Jesus was, whenever the Lord Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples there, Peter was actually full of pride. Yes, he was a little bit shifty at that time, there's no question about it, but I doubt if any realized just exactly that which was going on in his heart. He was conjuring up in his own heart ways that he could try to show the Lord that he was a man. And I don't say it disrespectfully. He wanted to be seen. He wanted to be the one who was full of enthusiasm. But deep down in his heart, things were not good. And brethren, it all backfired on him. It all eventually backfired on Peter. If you look there in Luke's Gospel chapter 22, you will see that his company was greatly changed. Luke 22, verse 55. You read again the end of verse 54 of Luke 22, that Peter followed afar off, and says in verse 55, "And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them." The reference there is, as one of them. He was right in the middle of this. Different from the company that he had normally enjoyed. And here we find him now, and he's sitting as one of them. He's not, number one, displaying any love for the Lord. But rather, he's almost, it seems, totally won over to the ways of the world. There's one very frightening thing here, and it's this. Just look how quickly this happened. It was not something that happened over a period of years, but rather it was over a very, very short time that he drifted from being zealous and enthusiastic for the Lord to sitting down here among the world as one of them, embracing and listening to their language and being part and parcel of their way of life. That's what he was. In fact, you could say that whenever Peter was here, and again I say this, I don't say it disrespectfully, but Peter was ashamed of Christ. He was ashamed of the Lord. Not as brought out in his behavior. And I'm going to bring it to show you what he said as well, and how it is brought out in that. I mentioned that young girl, probably 15 or thereabouts, the other night, who wasn't ashamed. A lot of ones down in Athlone yesterday, young people, teenagers, some of them, not ashamed. There's work going on, not ashamed. But here's a man that was looked up to for years, a mighty man. And he was ashamed. And the thing here is this, that when you look at his language, it was actually abusive. It was abusive. And there's another thing. And this is something that brings home to us just how real this drifting is, and how it can gather momentum, and how determined this drifting can seem to be. When the cock crowed once, it didn't stop him. It wasn't very long ago when the Lord said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me thrice." When the cock crowed once, it didn't change him. It's as though he was focused, that he was set and going in this direction that he was in now, and there was nothing going to change him. See, there's another message there, and it is this. Whenever we drift from fellowship with God's people and fellowship with the Lord, we soon get insensitive to the leading of the Lord. Sometimes God's people are very sensitive. I'm referring here to all of us, because the Lord has given to us a new nature, a new spirit within us. And we can be sometimes too sensitive, but we would want to be very sensitive to the leading of the Lord. And if you're going on with the Lord, you will be sensitive to certain things. But it seems here that in a very short space of time, that Peter had lost the sensitivity and the warning. The cock crowed once, didn't make any difference. That would be like me coming and preaching to a congregation and saying, listen, things are not right. They're not the way they used to be with some of you. And everybody saying, here's another rant. Now, I know you wouldn't say that. But that's really what it seems to be here in the life of Peter. He seemed to become insensitive. It's as though nothing was there as a warning to him. Now, I want you to notice here, when things come to a head, that Peter's words were prominent wrongs. Peter's words were prominent wrongs. I'm going to mention them to you. You can look, I'm not going to look them all up. You can look some of them up for yourself. I want you to notice that Peter's words were very deceptive. Christians shouldn't be deceptive. He shouldn't pretend to be anything that he's not. And Peter here, he denied Matthew 26. He denied being with Christ. John 18. He denied being a disciple. Matthew 26, he denied even knowing Christ. I know not the man. That's what he said. And then he denied understanding the accusation, Mark 14. Here's a man who was pretending to be, seemed to be like someone totally different from the Peter that we know. His words were deceptive. What was happening here? He was drifting, brethren. He was drifting from fellowship with the Lord. His words were very deceptive words, but his words were also very dishonoring words. Whenever Peter was walking with the Lord, when did he ever refer to him as the man? Among all the people that were with the Lord, Peter was a man who called him the Christ. But now he said, I know not the man. It's as though he's brought the Lord Jesus down a little bit, and he doesn't even want to speak of him as anyone special. Don't we think sometimes take the name of Jesus with you? And that's what the Christian wants to do. Christian loves the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we get to where Peter was, it doesn't really matter anymore. He's just the man. He's not the Christ. His words were dishonoring. This is a really sad case here, where you have this man who'd been so bright for the Lord. He's used deceptive words. He's used words that dishonor and show disrespect towards the Lord Jesus Christ. But he uses words that are absolutely no help whatsoever to others. You will know that during these very difficult times for his disciples here, there would have been Christians who were younger in the faith who would have needed help. They needed someone to come along and put an arm around them and say, you know, stay with us, we look after you, the Lord's with us. We know that times are difficult, but we're all in this together. But this Peter, who I have no doubt others would have looked to, he was dissenting in his heart. He was really showing the awful damage that drifting can do. Our families watch us. People in the church, and I speak of the evangelical church generally, they watch us too. And as I said before from the pulpit here, if you and I get out of fellowship with the Lord, we know, and others will know soon enough. And if you look at the actions of Peter here, yes, Peter seemed to be, you're not going to wash my feet, Lord. I'm far too low for you to bother with that. Don't do that. You need to wash me all. I'm so unworthy. What he was really saying, I'm better than these other boys. I'm so humble. But there's something going on. there's something going on, brethren. It was a drifting. And he long lost his steadfastness. I'm not saying that a lot of the things he did, yes, he was at the words fire and all, and among the crowd there, sitting among them, but he had lost his love. In his heart, he had lost his love to be there. Whenever I first got converted, I loved the meetings. And I'm glad to say that I still love meetings. And that would not happen if I did not make a point of asking the Lord to help me to love meetings. Ken, well, I remember when I was working in the coal area with my brother, going along to the early morning prayer meeting Friday mornings in Dungannon. We drove over to it and then coming back and going and doing a day's work. And you know, Friday was the best day of the week because we started off there in the early morning prayer meeting. Nothing special about us, we're just ordinary fellows. But we loved the meetings and we loved to be there. And we learned early on how easy it is to drift. How easy it is to drift from the Lord. Now you will read in Matthew 26 that his words were actually very defiling words. You will read there in Matthew 26 and in Mark 14 that then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. You may say, is this real? Is this a Peter that we all admire? The one who was never afraid to stand up and be counted as one of the Lord's? Yes, this is him. You see, it doesn't seem to matter now. Now, whenever it says that he began to curse and to swear, it does not mean that Peter used a string of vulgarities. It means to call down a curse upon himself if what he says is not true. And it means to take an oath that what he says is true. Now, I'm not trying in any way to gloss over the seriousness of his words here, but is this not an awful way for him to behave? When it says he began to curse and to swear, he's really saying that a curse would come upon him if what he's saying is not the truth. Of course it's not the truth. It's lies. He began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. He was the one who wanted to die with the Lord. Brethren, our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. And we're all very conscious that we need to keep a great check upon them. I think that when Peter uttered those words, I know not the man, that it says a great deal. Things come to a head. Where are you today with Christ? Ask yourself honestly. I don't care how many meetings you come to, because it doesn't matter how many I come to either. If the heart is not in fellowship with him, then there's drifting. There's drifting. If the enthusiasm is not there that used to be there, we sang the words earlier, where is the blessedness I knew? Remember a fellow got saved one time, and he come over to me, this was years ago, before I went into the college or anything. He said, I've got saved, and he says, it feels brilliant. He says, I never want to lose this. What'll it do? And I said, well, all I can tell you is what I do. I said, you read your Bible every day, you seek the Lord in prayer every day, get out to as many meetings as you can among God's people. And I'd say, over the years, that has helped me to not lose the joy of salvation. And folks, that is still the answer. When we look into our hearts, if we feel that, and I'm not saying you don't take part in sport. I'm not saying that. I'm not speaking like a legalist or anything like that, or saying you don't have friends that are not saved. But if we would rather be out sitting among those who are using foul language, those who hate the Lord, those who have no time for his word, those who are into all the sins of the world, let's use the example of some of the notorious nightclubs that are in the country at the minute. If we'd rather be there than in among God's people, then there is a serious difficulty. I could say, well, I'm not there yet, but I wonder we're drifting in that direction. And this is a very serious question. We have to ask our own heart every day. It was very evident that things did come to a head. And when Peter had something to say here, he behaved in a way he never expected. That can happen to us Christians. He behaved in a way that he never expected. He used words that were deceptive, words that were disrespectful to the Lord. He used words that showed he was no help to others. He used words that were absolutely defiling words, calling down a curse upon himself if what I say is not true. He wanted to reinforce his lie. And this is Peter. Should you and I not fear drifting? We look around us and sometimes we think, well, what about this legislation and that legislation and the other legislation? And I know all of that. It's a cause of grief for many as a Christian. But what are we doing about it? We want to be praying. We want to be making sure that things are as they appear to be with us. That our heart is in tune with the Lord and we're not like Peter drifting. And it really, there's no warmth, there's no desire there for the Lord at all. Notice, thirdly and finally then, and briefly, the sad result of his denials. At this time in his life, if you had met Peter and said, how's things going? He may well have shook your hand and said, never better. Great. Join us. Things are good with me. And he would probably have included a few Christian type words there to throw you a little bit and have you think that he was really enjoying the Lord. Peter was not a happy man. He was not a happy man. You'll see there in Luke's Gospel 22 and 62 that he went out and he wept bitterly. He wept bitterly when he recognized and had a little bit of reflection and looked at how things were. If you look there with what it does say in Luke's Gospel chapter 20, you'll see not only was he terribly miserable, but you will see that his memory affected him. His memory came back and haunted him actually. Luke 22, it's verse number 60, says, and Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew, and that is for the second time, as we said, the cock crowing once, he didn't even heed the warning. He didn't heed the warning. Verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and he wept bitterly. The world has a great way of encapsulating people and of getting our attention that God's word doesn't even warn us anymore. And that what we hear doesn't help us, doesn't change anything. And that's exactly what was happening with Peter. But the effects of denials now brought him to a point where he realized he was miserable. And it says there in verse 61, is it, that he remembered. He remembered the word. The best time for any backslidden person anywhere in the country to get back to the Lord is right now. And that's never going to happen. Nothing's going to change until there is a genuinely a committing of self to the Lord. A genuine doing of that. We're not asking the Lord to help us to feel good as we live at a distance from him. That's not going to happen. But his memory affected him here. Notice here that what really happened was that what really helped Peter was this. The Lord had his eye upon him. Do you see what it says there? It says, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Where it says there that the Lord looked upon Peter, it means it was a very, very intense look. Here was Peter, and there's no denying that he was now physically at a distance from the Lord. He was now at a distance from the Lord as far as fellowship was concerned, but he wasn't beyond the look of the Lord. He wasn't beyond the look of the Lord. You see, the Lord Jesus still loved Peter. The night before the crucifixion, brethren, had been a very bad night for Peter. He was someone who should have been. He really should have been in a different place. And you know what it is? He's just a picture of so many. So many who, maybe the actions are good, the words are right. There's every effort to seem to show enthusiasm, but the heart's as cold as Christmas. And there's been a departure from the Lord. And I speak as one who is far from perfect, and I know what it is to battle with our own hearts, but I do know this. You and I ought to fear drifting. Because look where it brought him. Brought him to a point where he was reinforcing his lies that he didn't know the Lord. But I finish by encouraging every one of us today because Peter, the Lord hadn't finished with Peter. We did mention that. The Lord loved him still. If you look at what it says there, in Mark chapter 16, this is the final reference. It's Mark chapter 16. The Lord Jesus has risen at this time. And it says there, the message to those who are going to go to others is this. Verse 7, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. Now how would this sound? The message would come along to the disciples. Yes, the Lord is risen. But there would be a specific message for Peter. Coming along to Peter, who now broken, realizing how things had gone from bad to worse with him, would realize the Lord has a message for me. In other words, the Lord is still very interested in everything to do with me. I believe the Lord was displeased with Peter. There's no question about that. But his love never wavered. Because his eye was still upon Peter, as we said, and it shows in the Bible there, the Lord turned and looked upon him. And if it would be the case today that there was one in the congregation, you've drifted off. That is the problem. There's no point in kidding ourselves. You have drifted off. If that is the case, the Lord's eye is still upon you. He loves you still. Peter got back into blessing. If you read Peter's epistles, they are words of a man who was humble and gracious and careful and full of brotherly love. He was a changed man. But there would never have been that if he had not gone back into fellowship with the Lord. How many times as you go around the doors have you met people and they've said to you, oh, I'm a backslider. And I know that things can happen that really try people and discourage people. But sometimes when you're speaking to people, that which took them away from the Lord was nothing but the flesh. Desire for the worldly ways. What took Peter away? I wouldn't like to have called him a coward to his face. He got his eyes off the Lord. That was simply it. He lost his focus on the Lord. And he began to look all around him. And they began to drift. And folks, in this day when there is so much departure from the Lord, and I think I can say this as a minister from presbytery, and knowing that there are many who are very, very alarmed today. There is this wholesale departure from the Word of God and from the Lord. Possible to be full of activity, to have a heart like an icebox. Trust the Lord will help us. Help us to check our heart every day. Help us to fear drifting, lest we end up denying the Lord. If not denying him in our words, denying him in our actions. And while we all may not feel that we're like the young lady who could wear the t-shirt with the verse on the back, not everyone could do that. We can all live for him. And by our lives show that we are the Saviour's. May the Lord bless you, few thoughts to your heart today. And may the Lord help us to be careful and to learn from the life of Peter.